but it's share time now.
Dagny, honey, that's why you're here. We are talking with comedic actress Dagny Kerr, whose credits include Desperate Housewives and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We're talking about life in primetime and how creative artists are currently surviving during COVID. You don't want to miss this.
So that makes you a lying adulterous skank.
Ooh, girl, why you gotta talk about Katrina like that? Wait, are you talking about Luke?
Steve, is this thing on?
Hey, Jeffrey, do you know what your problem is?
I'm an attention whore.
You're selfish. And maybe where you used to live, you were the center of the world. But you know what? It's share time now. And I can think of no one better to share with than our guest today. She is an actress, a writer, a playwright, a singer, a dancer, all things amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us Miss Dagny Kerr. Hi, Dagny. How are you?
I love my intro. I was like, yes, it's share time now.
It is share time. It is share time on more than one level. So where are you coming from today with us?
Coming from my floor in Hollywood. I'm sitting on the floor. I'm like, should I be like on a chair? But I'm like, I really love sitting on the floor. I always have since I was a kid. So I'm sitting on my floor and I'm in Los Angeles, in Hollywood to be exact.
And how's LA going during these modern COVID times?
This modern world. I don't know. I haven't been outside in over a year. I have no idea what's happening.
Well, look, you know, could be worse. You know, you could have your face ripped off again.
Yes. But... Well, actually, that probably would be better.
No, you could use it as a mask, really, couldn't you?
Exactly. That is the only good thing about the masks, you know, because we've been wearing them for so long, is I haven't had to worry. But like my base that I bought like years ago, like that's going to last me for so long because I haven't had to wear any like makeup. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, this good base is. I don't have to wear
any powder. Highs and lows, highs and lows. You know,
mask and some big old sunglasses.
Exactly. But no, it's good. It's getting better.
Well, that's great. Look, I think the whole world is slowly, slowly getting better. We can almost get back to normal. But today, my dear, it's all about you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
We just want to cover your life, really, don't we, Luke?
Wow. We do. And Dagny, I went into research mode, Dagny. I went back. Yeah. Like even that you're an understudy as a ballet dancer or an apprentice?
I thought you were going to bring out a photo of me from the 80s with my big hair.
Oh.
I would have
brought send that to us. I'll put that in after.
I'm pretty proud of it, you know. I'm always like, wow, I really from there. Yes, I started out as a dancer and still am a dancer, but that's my first love, always will be, is dancing. So I started as a very young age and did everything from, you know, everyone kind of starts in ballet because that's kind of the foundation. And then was in a ballet company, grew up in Cincinnati, and then continued dancing. That's actually what brought me out to Los Angeles, was I was pursuing dance. I was in the show Cabaret, the musical, out here in Southern California. And then I just kind of ended up out here afterwards. So, yeah, good digging.
Is it the soundtrack that's on your IMDb credits?
The soundtrack for...
I don't know. It had a soundtrack and I clicked on the link and it said the song was You Dick.
Oh, that's from a movie. So I did a movie. I did a movie with Sherry O'Terry and and Ricky Lake. And my character, it's so... IMDb is so weird. Like, I don't know why that's a credit. Like, and we don't put those on there. They just, like, things just show up. So somehow, because I sing that song in a movie, I'm credited on a soundtrack, which is so weird. Because in the movie, I'm just screaming. Like, I know that is very weird. So, no, I don't think I can call myself a soundtrack artist. It's just, like, the credit.
I was desperately trying to Google it before the show.
Funny. You guys are Googling some really weird things.
We love our due diligence.
Pebbles? You doing Pebbles on stage.
Oh my God.
And this guy shows up and he's the only one in heels. But yes. You had it down. I was like, years ago in another lifetime, I did a little stage. I needed you to come, Corey. I was dying. I was living for it. So I was watching a bunch of your little videos.
I love it. So that's what I still like to do with my dancing. You know, now that I'm a little older and that my arabesque isn't quite as high, I do like to do like funny comedy dance videos. So yes, I do a lot of theater out here in Los Angeles. So that was from one of like the regular theaters. Actually, Jane Lynch used to perform in that show with me. And so it was just a fun like, sketch show and you could kind of do whatever you want. So I would grab my friends and just create dance numbers. But I love that you loved the Pebbles video. It's one of my favorites.
I was like, and the thing was, I had done that song in a wig you know, myself. So I was like, I did it so much better. And then I thought, Almost Paradise.
You were pulling out the oldies but goodies.
If you guys are, you need to get on YouTube, go search her and look these videos up because
we'll link them in the description.
Yeah, they're kind of funny to watch on YouTube because they're obviously meant to be live. And sometimes when you tape things, it's sort of like, what is this? But the girlfriend video, I love. That was, and anytime I can wear a shoulder padded blazer, it's always, you know, that's always fun. Thank you.
They don't make shoulder pads like they did in the 80s.
I actually have a little bit in right now, but I'm a big fan of shoulder pads.
Yeah, I should get some because I don't have shoulders. Girl, it's a little rough.
So we're gonna jump straight into your TV work. Girl, you have done some stuff on some shows. You've been a busy beaver. So Jeffrey is a huge Desperate Housewives fan, aren't you, Jeffrey?
Yeah. Well, because they were all from Melrose Place. I'm like, I'm going to move over here. But
I love it.
Tell us about Nurse Ruth Ann a little bit. How was your experience with that show?
Oh, it was really fun. You know, I just came on to do one episode. So I was in, I believe it was the first season. Early on. So I was just doing the one episode and then they called me back. Gosh, I don't know. Jeffrey, you probably know better than I do. I don't know the other seasons I was in, but there was quite a bit of distance between that first time that I did it and then when they called me back. And then I think I did a few episodes. I don't remember, but it was great.
I think it was about four, if my research was correct, four or five that you actually like featured. And I think they were spaced over a few different seasons. So you were like a recurring character, which was really cool because obviously Desperate Housewives was like a dramedy. And I think whenever, like, you know, Nurse Ruth Ann was there, you knew the comedy was going to be just full.
Someone was going to die or their blood pressure was going to go down because I had not taken my exam. But somehow,
well, that's right.
I didn't pass my nurse's exam. They didn't even ask me.
No one asked you.
The funny thing is, Dagny, Luke, and Vera are both nurses. So,
I did not do your healthcare justice.
Oh, look, I appreciated probably when Nurse Ruth was at mentally.
I was like, I'm sure you've. This is actually like kind of side topic, but I did a play. Fairly recently before COVID, and it's a very dark comedy, and I play a suicide helpline worker who actually is like encouraging people to get it over with because like they like it's obviously dark but has a you're laughing
it's just if you're on a hotline.
But it but like I'm like, what have you done ever in your life that you could follow through? Now's their chance. So it's very funny, but it was very hard, like, because when you do it live, you know, when you're doing live theater, the energy permeates, right? It's like, if there's people that are like, no, like that energy permeates, and then the other people are like, I'm afraid to laugh. I think this is funny. So one night we had these front row of women that were just, I mean, we could get two lines out before they were just laughing hysterically. And we're like, oh my God. So afterwards they're like, oh my Lord, we work at a hotline. Thank you. Thank you.
Hi.
Oh,
got it.
That's really funny. So I can't imagine how difficult that field is. And I'm sure at times, even though you have best intentions, I'm sure mentally you can't help but just get exhausted and just want to be like, oh my Lord, this person. So
I think during the whole COVID thing as well, it's been stressful. Hey Vera, it hasn't been, you know, the most fun front line to be on, but you know, we signed up for this.
You know, that first 3 months when everybody was staying home and you were still going to work and you were still seeing patients and you had no idea what was going on.
Yeah. No, huge, huge applause for you guys, because I mean, that is, I mean, it's an intense job anyway, but during this time to be doing that, and like, let's not even get into mask wearing and like, you guys wear masks every day. It's like not a big deal. It's like, oh, I just don't even get it. But we don't want to go down that dark. We don't want to go down the dark mask.
I kind of want it. Was that show taped that you did about the hotline?
Say that again.
Was that show taped about the hotline you did? I need to get my hands
on
that.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. I don't think it's online anywhere. You know, theater's sort of weird. You have to get approval usually through Equity to keep things. So like some of that stuff that's online was just kind of like somebody posted it. But no, if we ever do it, I will let you know, because it is hilarious.
It is my favorite type of comedy. Like, I have that dark sense of humor.
And you either gotta have it or you don't, right? You gotta appreciate that humor or you just don't. And I love it. Like, I even love old John Waters films, things like that, where it's just, it just goes way too far. And you're like, oh my gosh, I have to keep watching.
You are too young if you're calling John Waters old.
Listen, when you're doing a daycare interview with parents and they ask, you know, they say their kids are real difficult, and you say, here, I'm gonna give you a phone number, and you tell them it's Casey Anthony's number. You know, they gotta be the type of people for it. It doesn't always
they work. Have to understand, like,
you know. So I knew, like, either they were gonna work out or they had to go. Yeah,
that's your icebreaker.
Yeah, it really
Dagny,
yes,
was comedy always something that drew you, like, had appeal for you? Like, I know you started out as a dancer, but a lot of your work has that comedy element to it. Is that something that you were wanting to be the serious actress, as per se?
You know, I can't really say I ever really thought about it so much. Hi, Kat.
There she is.
I honestly think, well, actually was pretty, like, dancing was always my way of expressing myself. And I think I didn't really discover, like, my comedic, I mean, even though I grew up doing a lot of musical theater, which obviously has a showmanship and a comedic timing to it. But I really kind of discovered my, like, comedic voice kind of out here when I was taking classes, really. It started with writing. I started writing, like, some monologues. And then I remember my teacher saying, oh my gosh, Dagny, like, this is your voice, like, this comedic voice, you have to really, like, harness this. And then I just started getting roles that kind of combined my, I guess, like, my comedic side and my physical side, and just kind of rolled from there. But it's definitely not something that I ever thought growing up, like, I'm going to be a funny, like, I'm going to do funny things or I'm going to do a serious. I never really thought about it, to be honest.
To have that, you know, that good comedic timing, though, is once again a very fine art form that not a lot of actors really do have. And I think that's what you always brought to the table. And that's...
Thank you so much. Yeah. I think a lot of that probably honestly comes from dance, because there's an internal rhythm to dancing. And I think you'll find a lot of people that have danced or done musical theater or musicals, they definitely, it's easier for them to kind of just go into comedy, because you just have a... You just have an ear for when you're kind of, when you're reading, you know, a script and it's comedic, you're hearing it because it's timing and it's music. So I think having that background and starting so early, probably with music and dance, probably helps with that, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Also with the physical stuff as well, I would guess.
Definitely. Yeah, it's really surprising when I started out here, like, how many actors actually don't have a background in, like, movement. And it's so helpful and so important. And I love it. I can't sit still. I'm always like, when I'm like, damn, like, people are like, oh, that character doesn't do that. That character is sitting. And I'm like, really? I want to do this. I want to do this. Like,
well, my interpretation is this.
Head to the toes.
Is this just vocally, or are we seeing us?
We're seeing us. We're seeing us.
They're probably like, what is this person doing? Like, if I'm just, you know, going on. So
we forget sometimes as well.
Yes. But thank you for saying that. I appreciate that.
So, Dagny, right. we gotta get into the big gun as well right now. What was it like being cast on Buffy the Vampire Slayer? And also, like, the show is not known, it has comedic episodes, but, like, this is one of the funniest episodes that show's ever seen in all 7 years that it was on.
Yeah.
And...
Yes.
it was great chemistry between you and Sarah. So what was it like, yeah, coming into a well-oiled machine and working with established actors on a show like Sarah and the rest of the cast, because they were like a pretty close-knit cast as well.
Definitely. Buffy was one of those experiences that is definitely once in a lifetime. First of all, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'll get another role like that, but where you can combine comedy, drama, fighting, masks, like it just kind of, it had everything. And it was also one of the easiest, not one, it was the easiest audition I've ever had in my entire life. I remember I walked into the room. The scene I had to read was the one where I put up the Celine Dion poster. So it's just a quick fun. It's going to be super fun, that one. And it was just myself. It was Joss, who I had no idea who he was. He was sitting there, the casting director. I read it once. I left. I thought that that was all I had, was just that one scene. And then I got a call later that says, oh, okay, so you booked the role. And then when they sent me the script, I was like,
Ooh.
And then I laughed because I think to myself, like, you know, I had to do like fighting. And I was like, they didn't ask me anything. Like, they didn't ask, like, can you move? Like, even on set, they're just like, okay, stand there. You're going to go, oh, oh, oh. Like, I was like, oh my God, what if I said, this isn't a real arm?
You have it here first, ladies and gentlemen. All of her parts are real.
Like, this arm isn't real. It'll come off if I try to, like, you know what I mean? I don't know. I just, like, I think of all the smaller things that I did, like 6 feet under, and I had to go in like 5 times, and it was just like maybe a handful of lines. It was pretty small. And then this one, they were just like, just trusted. Like, she's the right person. We don't already see her do any other scenes. She can fight. Like, so a lot of trust with that. And I remember showing up the first day. You know, when you show up, when you're just guesting, there's no hand-holding. You just have to jump in as you've been there since day one, too. I remember standing. They had the room set up, you know, like the dorm room. And then I didn't even get a chance to say hello to Sarah. We just went right into our rehearsal and just read our lines. And then sitting across from each other on the beds. And I remember just this is so awkward. Like, what do you say? Like,
oh, like, hi. I didn't mean to hate you. Each other.
No, and then I was like, this is so weird. But she was great. Everybody was great. She actually did thank me with what Connie, you said afterwards. She said it was really fun for her to do something comedic.
Yeah.
So we actually finished.
Well, that was one of the questions that one of the fans, because I like trolled a bit of Reddit and stuff. I was like, look, is there something that you want us to ask Dagny? And one of the things that they said was, did Sarah drink all the milk?
Like, he sure did.
And I was going to say, how many takes did that take for her? Like, it would have been just...
I don't think it was very many. You know what's so funny? I actually have that carton. I think I actually used it for your cameo.
For my cameo, yay!
Someone brought me a carton of milk in Paris at a convention. Someone brought me an iron. Like, it was hilarious, but I have that carton.
I can only imagine how many cartons of milk, eggs, Celine Dion posters, and Cher CDs you see.
It's so fun. I love it. Yes, she.
And you get asked, do you iron your jeans all the time?
Oh, that's funny. You have the picture. Someone gave me that. Do I iron my jeans? Yes, yes. Well, I mean, doesn't everybody iron their jeans? I mean, no, I'm kidding. I don't iron.
Not Jeffrey.
I don't iron my shirt.
I don't know if anyone does. No, we do. But it was a really fun. It's a lot of work doing an hour show, and especially with everything that she and the rest of the cast had to do. I mean, you've got prosthetics, you've got fighting, you've got drama. I mean, it's a very long like process to do a show like that, and it's an hour long. But another thing fans were saying,
like, do you think Kathy should have had a longer storyline?
You know,
like being.
Yeah, I think it would have, you know, they packed a lot into that second episode. They have these plotted out, right? They have exactly where they want to go, like, before. I think you could have definitely strung that tension along and then had one big blow up. It was a lot to cover in one episode, going from a poster to, you know, it was a pretty quick arc. But, you know, we have no say in that, obviously. We just
I think you would have been great as just like, you know, that show is famous for kind of having these little mid-season or like last episode twists where we didn't know if those, if your, you know, if your demon parent was stalking for the whole season, and then like the last episode, you're just revealed to be this demon thing. That would, I think that would have been amazing, because
it would have been amazing,
especially with roommates. It doesn't necessarily blow up that quickly. Like it's a slow process. And you're like, I'm gonna kill.
Well,
this
they played
bitch.
It fun in a way that like she's acting really crazy. Like she's evil. She has to die. They're just like, holy crap, she's snapped.
Crazy. I was watching it, and I'm like, I thought Buffy was a bitch. She wasn't doing anything wrong. I'd have been pissed. I'd have beat the vampire slayer's ass if she had left gum on my nightstand. Like,
thank you, Jeffrey. No. You know what we say to that? Hashtag justice for Kathy.
Yeah. Hashtag
justice for Kathy. Like,
and then Buffy's going to rip off her face.
Finally. Someone understand.
No, I was mad, man. I was like, oh, hell no. She just drank your milk and shit.
She did. She was not a good roommate.
Rude.
She didn't give me a chance. But I felt like Kathy could have even been an ally to her at one point. Like Kathy just needed some time to understand how things go.
Kathy was a little hoish.
She
getting on the dude's pocket. Love that. She just
takes one to know one, Jeffrey.
That's right, honey. That's right. I appreciate it. And Buffy, well, girl, maybe you should have came back home early.
That is well, thank you.
Did you see the sock hanging on the doorknob?
Love it.
Yeah, Buffy's just a bitch. I'm sorry, Sarah.
Fine. I'll show you share time.
Wow. Late revelations from Jeff. So with your movement background, did you do a lot of those stunts yourself?
Well, everything that you see. So, you know, I act with Sarah's stunt double and she acts with my stunt double for safety. So everything where the action was on me, yes. Now there was one like really major one where the lady's like dragging her across the floor. I mean, you can tell by her quads.
Sarah's stunt double looks nothing like her, because there was an earlier scene. I was like, come on.
Yeah. She's the same physical size. Yeah, that's really the important thing, because Sarah's a really tiny, very petite. But yes, I did a lot of them. I remember the one that was really hard. I had to like throw myself like back against the bed, and I remember I kind of did it wrong at first, and there was like the wood was there from the bed and kind of hurt my back a little bit. But I mean, it was intense. They didn't mess around. They were just like, you know, our stunt dub or coordinator was like, it looks too dance-like, because I was like ballet. He's like, no, like, it's
correctly start a subplay and fall. She's down.
It is an art form, just like everything else is in that world. And it's yeah, thank you. Yeah,
but I think we've all been there with falling backwards on the bed the wrong way.
Okay. Yes,
we feel you.
But it's definitely an art form to. It's interesting what you think you need to do. It's not supposed to look like that. It's almost like you have to overdo the movement, but it's very hard. But anyway, I had to pick it up fast because they just came out and the stuff.
Well,
coordinator's like, do this.
They say, like, you know, martial arts and dancing are very like hand in hand, though, because it is learning steps and patterns, and it works well for choreographed fights.
Muscle memory.
So at least yes. Because honestly, like, imagine I didn't have an arm and I had no movement background. I would have been lost. I would have been like, you want me to do what? I don't understand.
I just want to be like you. I want people to look at me and know I can fight.
There you go.
I think that's the best part of your audition. They just looked and they knew.
That's true, Kat. I never thought of that.
Buffy, you know, before cool. Desperate Housewives or after? I didn't look.
It was before.
Oh, okay. Because it was just kind of like, all over and desperate in the hospital scene with like the Susan character. You guys,
yes,
are going.
Yeah,
nuts.
I worked a lot with Terry. She's so great.
Is she?
She's fantastic. So was Eva. I worked with Eva once, and they were both awesome. I never met the other housewives, but I just worked with Eva. Oh.
Jeffrey is just waiting for the tea. He wants to hear the bad stuff. She doesn't have any tea for you, Jeffrey.
We don't have any tea for you.
It's always my favorite Marsha that was always seems to be the one that was in trouble. They were thrown under the bus. But poor Terry, I love her.
Oh, I never met Marsha or Felicity or
Nicolette,
thank you. just Terry and
well, briefly, Nicolette, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, you and Terry worked well. Once again, though, the comedic timing between the two of you was really good chemistry.
She's really funny. Yeah, she's a really good, really good actress, but and really very present. Like, I remember when I met her, and again, it's one of those things, it's such a weird thing. Imagine going into someone's house. This is what I equate it to. When you're a guest star, it's like you go into someone's house and you just start decorating and making yourself a plate of food and then just have to act like that's just normal. Like, it's very strange. No one introduces you and no one says, hi, Terry, this is Dag. You just literally walk on set and then they're like, okay, let's do this. And then you just go and do your rehearsal. And then maybe after you say, I'm Dagny, by the way. Like, it's very weird. But she's really like right away, like, I was like, wow, she's really good. She's really present and just looks kind of like right through you. And very clear and would say to me, like, give me direction, not in a weird way, like, but she's like, when you do that, I love what you're doing, grab me here, and then I'll just, like, you know, she's great. Yeah, she was awesome.
Well, I think everybody that's pretty much worked with her more one-on-one, they've loved her. Like, it was really kind of just like, I think them putting women together against each other, that it blew up into what it was. Like, just because you work with somebody doesn't mean you're friends.
Right.
Like, I think people and fans don't realize.
I can imagine. Steve. Well, cast chemistry is a tricky thing, you know, and then you put on top of that, you know, success and pay grades. I mean, when things blow up like that, then it's a whole other thing, you know.
That's where being the guest star is good, because you can be like, and I'm out.
You get your measly 10 cents and you walk away.
But look, you did what? Two episodes of Buffy, and I'm sure that is what you get harassed for nearly every day of your life.
I have my own little bobblehead.
That's so cool.
What are they called?
Pop vinyl.
I have a little pop vinyl. That's crazy to me. Like, you would never think as a guest or a recurring character that, you know, you will still be, after all these years later, still, I mean, I still have the same hair, so that's in place, but it's a real treat, and it's something, of course, you're not thinking about that. If you are, you're definitely in the wrong headspace if you're thinking when you're doing someone's gonna be knowing me forever. That would be really weird. But
my one story arc was amazing.
I was fantastic. People can't get enough of me.
My arm fell off.
Exactly. You know, you just do your thing and you move on. You know,
well, I think if you fall back on a bed properly, that person who witnessed it will remember you for the rest of your life.
Thank you, Pat. I appreciate that. Well, it was only the crew members that saw that, so it didn't really take me that far, but thank you.
But I do think if your arm fell off, you'd still be a GIF showing up on the internet all over the place.
Very true.
So I saw that you were in a playwrights festival, Page to Stage. Right, 2019?
I've been in a lot of playwright festivals. So I started, I've been writing for a little while. I started doing like one-woman shows and things kind of back in in the 90s, early 2000s, that those were very big at the time. And it's when actually people really went out to theater and things weren't so much digital and web series weren't a thing back then. So I had a few shows then, but then I hadn't really done much writing beyond that. And then I was in a writing group I guess it was about 6 years ago, and I started writing some plays, and then and then my playwriting career is taken off. This I didn't mean to have this here. I actually was taking a photo because someone wanted it, but like this is one of my plays are in this beautiful noir anthology. That seems weird that I just had it, but I was just taking a picture of it before I hopped on.
No, but the audience wants to buy it. Where can they find that?
You know what? And this was something that, you know, someone else put together. You can buy it on Amazon. It's called Play Noir Anthology. This actually, if anyone is a fan of noir plays, this is
definitely love it.
Collection. And mine is right here. So this is my first published piece. So it's really exciting. Yeah, it's called Swindled Heart. And so there it is. There's my play.
In the print. So it's real.
You had a bunch of stuff that you've won tons of awards. You had, I saw that there was a Christmas show, that Holiday Fever. You had 10 seasons where it was sold out. Stay won the best play in the Sherman Ward Jr. Award for Excellence in Playwriting. I don't know if I said that right. And we had Deep Sea Dagny, which I'm like, girl, can you just, why Deep Sea Dagny? Honey, what were you doing?
I wrote for myself. That actually was about a woman who was obsessed with Pat Benatar. So you might enjoy that one.
That's you all.
Hitchhiking to Mars.
That was my second one. Yes. That was
Dalton.
Yep.
Dalton a short film?
Yes.
Dalton is a short film. Yeah. Yes. Dalton, it's a play. It was a play first. Yeah. Dalton had quite a life. It started as a play. It still is a play. It's about a middle-aged couple who are having their first child, and they're trying to name him, but it's really just about the woman's fear of having a child. Her own relationship with her mom is not well, but it's very funny. And it won all kinds of play festivals. And then actually ABC used it for, they have a showcase every year for actors in New York. And so they chose my play, my scene from that play that I wrote. They chose that as their ABC showcase. And then I did a short film, and it was in the Los Angeles International Film Festival. I think that was 3 years ago now. It was 3 years ago, but yeah.
So awesome.
Thank you so much.
And you're doing a new play now, aren't you? And
say that again.
You're doing a new play right now. Is it Deanna and Paul?
Well, these are all like what you're on right now is kind of like an IMDb for playwrights. So you basically put up your work. So I get a lot of work from that, where everyone from colleges to theaters all over town will, you know, email me and say, oh, we really love that play. Can we produce it? And then you give them permission.
Oh, so, I'm with you.
Yeah, that's kind
that's
of
cool. How
it is. Yeah, it is cool. I have to say, I don't know if I love it better than acting. It's very different, right? It's still expressing, but I think in some, I don't know. I don't know if I feel, I don't know how to say it. It's like when I write something and someone responds to it, I'm definitely very touched. I think a little bit more deep than when someone responds to my acting, because it's definitely like when you're acting, you know, you're taking someone else's work and bringing it to life. And when it's your own, and it's kind of like, it's like once removed, like, here, I hope you like it. And then when someone's like, oh my gosh, like I didn't do anything with it. I didn't put like live characters to it or music. You just read it and you were like crying. I'm like, oh, thank you.
It's very much like, for the dance world, it's very much like a choreographer getting credit for
exactly,
a piece. It's a different fit, because I'm a dance teacher choreographer
as
well. So yeah. I can equate it to that, because I'm, you know, everyone on the panel's done a bit of acting. So
Kitty was on a sketch show on Nickelodeon called All That. So she knows all about
She's
being
our professional
a comedic
child
actress.
Star.
Yes.
I was going to ask you, what's that like though, Dagny? Like, I guess that's a different feeling though too, to create something and write something and then watch it back with other people's interpretations. Yeah.
Well, you know, initially when I started writing, it was to give myself a vehicle, because that was always encouraged. Like, hey, don't wait for somebody else to create something for you. You write it, you create it, you produce it, you know. Like Kaylee Coco, she just did that with the flight attendant. Like, obviously, she's a big star and was already on a show. But I was watching a talk back because I thought that show was great. And she said that she
loved that show.
Wasn't that great? I was just watching their talk back, their SAG talk back. And she was saying that she got the book and she became the executive producer because she knew that no one was going to hire her to play that role. And she's probably right, because they would have said, like, oh, Big Bang Theory, she can't do this. You know, because you get pigeonholed, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, good for her. So that's originally why I started writing. But then as I got in this writing group and, oh, let me let someone else do it. Oh, they can actually do it. Like, you know, there's that control part of you that thinks, you know, oh, I don't know if anyone would be able to, like, get this timing of this. And then once you see people take it and have that experience, it's very fulfilling. Now you also see people take it and you're like, oh, God, they destroyed it.
Shit.
Yeah, but you know.
But you see them destroy it and then the audience responds to them. And
totally,
you're like,
Vera. Shit. Yeah, and you're like, you're going, yeah. And people are like, oh, that was so good. And you're like, they didn't even get the lines right.
You should keep them the handbook, exactly. The playbook handy for the, you know, the call center. So when they do a shit job, you could just hand and be like, read this, it'll help.
Exactly.
Cordelia, have some lemonade.
No, it is. It's an interesting experience. But that one place stay that you mentioned, that one is about actually a relationship between two dogs. They're played just like friends, they're played just like humans. And it's really funny, but it's really poignant. The one dog, he hasn't seen his friend in a while at the park, and it turns out he has cancer. And
Shepherd.
Yes, Sammy. And it's really just about grief and letting go. But I feel like when you tell it through the story of animals, people pay attention more because people have a soft spot. But that one, I feel kind of bad because every live show I've went to, people are embarrassed at how they're bawling. Like,
they're doing the Oprah.
Like, I feel like I'm glad you're having a reaction, but you can tell people, oh, like they're trying to, like, hold it in. Like, that ugly cry. And they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I destroyed it. I destroyed you. And they're like, oh my God, that play. And I'm like, I know. They're like, oh, it's like, I'm so sorry, but not. I mean, I'm glad you had that reaction.
That reaction's what you want, right? You're like, aha, I got in there. I got into those feelings.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
So we'll jump back to you've been on some fairly big shows of their time. Tell us a little bit about 6 Feet Under.
Oh, 6 Feet Under. I'll never forget that experience with Kathy Bates. Talk about intimidating. That lady scared the hell out of me. He's intense. Really intense.
There's your tea, Jeff.
And not for any reason other than she's just an intimidating person. Just now we had no exchange of I am Tammy, I am Kathy. We had nothing. It was the scene, and then in between the scenes it was nothing. She was all business, but I mean, she's so great. It was her and Frances McDormand. And so we had a scene together, and that was it. Yeah, it was just super intense and really.
Steve is jealous.
But internally you have that, like, oh my gosh, like, this person's really intense. But I had another character where I had to be kind of like toe to toe with her. And it was fun. I think. Yeah, I could see sometimes in her eyes, like, oh, she's really coming at me. So I was like, I'm not going to back down, Kathy. You take your fried green tomatoes and you go home. Like, no, I didn't.
especially after Misery, like, you're like, this is Kathy Bates. Like, I don't want to run. I don't want to mess Kathy Bates through where she's going to hobble me in the makeup room.
She's just an intimidating presence. Like, if you meet her, you know, she's a great actress, and she carries that in weight when she's across from you. And, you know, you have that moment of like, oh, and then you have that moment of like, all right, Dagny, bring it back. This is, you know, fight with her. So you rise to the challenge when they come at you. It was cool.
Then you did Reba as well, didn't you?
I did. Oh my God. How cute is Reba?
I love Reba. Reba.
Who doesn't love Reba? She's Reba. The cutest lady ever. So sweet. Now, she's so fun. I remember she was like, come here, girl. I need to run these lines. And then, like, we were, like, running our scene together. She's so cute. Yeah. She was a dream to work with.
Such a great show too. Underrated sitcom, that one.
I agree.
Good actors on there. Yeah.
What a great actors. So tell us about ER. Sorry, Jeff. You're on ER as well.
Oh, ER. Yeah. Yeah. I was on the later, like, I think it was almost on the second to last episode of ER. Oh, wow. How long ago that show had been on. Yeah, I wasn't with any of those people. I was with Angela Bassett.
Well,
my scene was with Angela Bassett, who was amazing.
She would scare the shit out of me.
And what's her name from Dead to Me? Linda Cardellini. Oh my gosh, talk about being super intimidated and someone putting you to ease. Angela Bassett. So the scene is I was pregnant and I was dying and I had this artery that was being well, it's ER, you know. I had what is
hard that? To make that funny.
Yes, this one was very serious, so there was no dancing happening in the gurney.
You're like, help it, Dr. Ross.
My baby gonna die. So I'm like, holy crap, Stella got her groove back. This is Angela freaking Bassett. She's gorgeous. She's just like, I love her. So she had, you know, it is no joke to work on a show like that with all that jargon. I mean, you know, and she had to say something in the scene about some sort of artery that she was talking, and she kept flubbing it, and she's like, what is it again? They're like, 15 little artery. She's like, okay, got it. And she's so sweet. Like, I don't care how many, she's into it, and she's like, Dagny, I'm so sorry. And I was like, oh my God, it's totally fine. Like, how sweet is that? Like, she was apologizing for having to do, like, what, four takes, because you know, like, and I just,
well, because you were dying. I mean, she was,
yes,
she was concerned.
Oh, totally, she was in character, she was method. But I just, that was so sweet. I just thought that was so kind of her to, like, she was, you know, getting frustrated it because it's really hard, you know, to know all that. I mean, they're not doctors, and you know, and even myself, like, I had to ask the guy, what does one, when they're going through this, what are they doing? Because they have a what do you call it? A real doctor on the set to coach you and tell you what would really be happy. He's like, you would be out of breath. You'd be hyperventilating at this point. So, you know, you're expected to do that on the spot, just as she's expected to all of a sudden know a whole 4 years of medical school and everything. So
I was going to say, though, isn't it the magic of TV, though? Because usually a lot of medicine is trial and error to get to that point. And I'm learning every day on my job all the time.
Exactly.
Because there's always new things. It's like, oh, haven't seen that before, but now I'll know.
Exactly. Like,
and they just got to know on the spot because, you know, they got to tell the story real quick.
Totally. So it's like on top of like bringing good acting, you know, they always have to remember all these things and what they would be doing with these tools and where their hands would be. But she's a dream. And Linda Cardellini is fantastic. And John Stamos was I met and worked with.
Yum.
Also super.
Jesse.
So I got the good looking group of ER.
Yeah.
But Dagny, did they save the baby?
Yes, I lived. Yes, Angela.
Oh, you lived as well. Oh, and you.
That baby got her groove back, yes.
Oh, good.
I love it.
She saved my baby, Angela did. So I'll be always indebted to her. No, and she is gorgeous. I mean, she's gorgeous on screen, but like in person, I just like, I kept thinking like, Dagny, don't stare at her. Like, I was like, skin, like she's beautiful. And just her spirit is beautiful too. Like she's gorgeous.
I'm going to put your name in for 911 because I want to see that character come back now with a child and be like on 911. Every time you saved my life when you were a doctor.
Remember that?
Well, Dagny, that brings up a really good point. You've worked with a lot of cast members of American Horror Story. Maybe we should Kathy Francis. We should put you forward for Ryan Murphy. Maybe actually I think you'd be great on Ratched.
Okay.
Have you seen Ratched?
I have not seen it.
You need to check it out. I think we could have a Kathy character, that like a Kathy nurse character. That would be.
We got you back, girl.
Just be fun.
So, what about George Lopez? What can you tell us about your little role as Claudia?
George Lopez, so good. Another awesome. That was such a highlight working with George, and you know it was a very big deal because at that time. They had not really had a family that looked like that on TV, like, well, as a sitcom, really, on a mainstream ABC sitcom. So now, of course, there's all kinds of shows like that on TV. But at that time, it was a very big deal for him and for that whole family. It was awesome. Yeah, it's always fun filming in front of a live audience and hard as well, you know, because if a joke doesn't land, they just rewrite things on the spot and they go, here's this. And you have to be very, very fast at memorizing because there's no time. They just like do this. It's pretty intense. Those writers are intense too, because they got to come up with stuff on the spot. They're in huddles going, okay, let's try this. And then they go, here you go. Kat, new pages. Here you go, new pages.
I was about to say that, Kat, with your sketch comedy background, you'd be knowing all about rewrites on the fly, wouldn't you?
Oh, it's awful. We would get new rewrites every day, like a whole new script. So we'd memorize it on the way or in school or in hair and makeup. And then we'd be performing live and then, yep, right there. Oh, no, we're changing the whole thing. Stop.
I know. It's like you can't memorize anything until like, you can't really ever. Mm-hmm. It's always so I guess that's the nice thing about doing more like hour shows is that usually like when the pages that you get
stay the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's kind of nice, you know.
They're not yelling, Ross Perot, go.
But George is fantastic, and he is just hilarious and awesome, and I loved working with him.
So you jumped from Buffy to Pretty Little Liars. That's like two generations of drama.
That was an interesting little thing they had going there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I forgot about that one. Some of them kind of you forget about, like, not that it was a forgettable experience, but, you know, it's just not as...
There were so many. I was going to say, is it nerve-wracking, though, going into, like, you know, when we start a new job, it's like, uh-oh. And you were just, like, thrown into these new environments, new cars, all the time.
Can be very anxiety ridden. I mean, imagine being, I guess, like a high school student and going to a new high school every day. I mean, it's kind of like that. I mean, everybody else knows each other. There's a rhythm, you know, the crew know each other. So, I mean, even just hoping you find the place where you're supposed to go to can be nerve-wracking. You're like, oh, I'm going the right way. I put my ways on. Oh, wow.
End up guessing on a completely different show.
Exactly. I do a lot of commercials too, so that's the thing too. You know, you're always in a different spot. For those, the good thing is you're all new to each other, but, you know, you end up seeing a lot of the same crew too. Like, I'll work a lot and I'll be like, oh, hey, you were my DP on The District or whatever. So you do kind of know people, but it's, you know, it's not easy to just like get in there and then gel with somebody or hate them instantly. Like whatever you're supposed to do, you know, there's no
fight them.
Fight them with your false arm. I mean, you can't think about it. You just have to jump in, and it feels a little weird at first. I did Bosch recently, and I never said anything to him, to Titus, and I never saw him. And then they go, let's do a rehearsal. And then all of a sudden he was in front of me and we're just doing our scene. And then we ended and he looked at me and then he walked away. And that was it.
That's alpha joke.
Not anything mean or anything. He's just like, you know, we did our thing and he looked at me and that ended, and then he went and sat in his chair, and I stayed behind in my chair, and that was
this the alpha. Is how, like, what's a touch there with the little kids product company said the 90210 girls were, they were mean girls with the guests.
Oh, host. No, what I don't think he was mean. He was, I don't know what you he said. Didn't interact. We just said, you know, we should have heard
every one show that you were like, I don't care if it's the last show on earth, I will never fucking go back.
That's unfortunate. I will say, luckily I've never had that experience on any show that I've ever worked. So that's good. I can honestly say I've never, ever, ever had an experience where I felt unwelcomed. I mean, my own things are just my own feelings of, like, you know, standing across from Titus, because he's very, very intimidating as well. Just his energy and his eyes. It's like, oh my Lord, this guy's gonna kill me. You know, just your own weirdness of, like, oh, I wonder if he's like, is this lady good or who is this lady? Like, right, you don't know.
Yeah, right, for sure. Thing,
you know, probably the nicest, probably top is Patricia Heaton.
I was about to bring that up.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You guys are on it. My gosh. I actually bought that outfit off of the wardrobe people. So I wear that a lot in commercials. But I'm like, I remember that.
But speaking of awkward situations, that episode was so good. Right? So good.
Those writers are funny. Now, funny, when I walked onto the set of that set, the director had directed me and George Lopez. So then I, you know, it was like, oh, hey, I remember you. So, you know, sometimes you get someone that, oh, you did my makeup before, or, you know, I like when people are like, oh, sometimes the makeup people are like, oh, remember I did your makeup for, I don't know what show, American Horror Story, in, like, even though it wasn't me, I'll go, oh, yeah, just because it makes me feel like I did.
Add it to the credits. Yeah,
yes, that girl thinks I was in that. Make it for this.
Put it on my IMDb. It's fine.
I'm like, oh, so, yeah, how have you been? Because then I feel like, oh, good, someone knows me, but they think I'm someone else. That is ridiculous.
It just makes that is one of my
favorites. Speaking of, check this out, Castle. Nathan Fillion, great, great story. He freaking left me. Oh, I just have to grab it. It's right here. Oh, why do you guys have a clip of everything? Oh my God. I got to show you this. Hang on 1 second.
Just wait.
I still have this. Look at this. Can you see? It's a speaker. So, yeah. You know, you roll onto set, right? They put you in these old trailers and you're just sitting by yourself and it's weird, right? You don't know anybody, but you don't want to bug anybody. Like, hey, you want to sit with me? Sitting in your trailer, like trying not to get in anyone's way and just be prepared, whatever. So, just be, you know, easy to work with. So I go into my trailer and usually there's just your clothes that you're going to be put in there. There was a handwritten note from him and a speaker.
Nice. Yeah.
Dagny, welcome to the Castle set. Hope that you love working here as much as I do, or something like that. And a speaker. I mean, who does
that? Yeah. That's no considerate. That's nice.
It's so Canadian.
Very Canadian. Yeah. Such a nice guy. I mean, that is, boy, I mean, if that doesn't say welcome.
Yeah, right.
I know.
I love
this speaker, but yeah, that's a good one. And then yeah, Patty Heaton, she's just so cute, and she's just so open, and she's talking about her kids to us and her religion, and just she's just super cool, you know. And I'm like, can we take a picture with you? She's like, of course. Like, she's, you know, you never know. You don't want to be like, hey.
Right. Yeah. Actually, speaking of people wanting pictures with people, how do you find doing conventions?
Yeah. Well,
how is that?
You know, honestly, I don't do a lot of them. Not by choice. I honestly don't get asked to do a lot of them. I do a charity one here in Los Angeles pretty frequently that I love. It's very small, so you do get to know the same people every year, and so that's really fun because you can say, "How are your kids?" You really get to know them, and they. Yeah. And then I did one in Paris. I think that was only my second one that I've ever
that
done.
That sounds like a good one.
That was a good one. That's where I got all those props. I got the milk. The French are hilarious. They are very prepared when they do their photo ops. Like, this guy is like, okay, so I want you to choke my boyfriend and then I will be stabbing you.
Oh.
Of course.
Like, that's what you, okay.
And like, you did WhedonCon with Rabia, wasn't it? Like,
yes.
You did.
And she did the Paris one with me. Yeah, WhedonCon.
That's so cool.
Yeah, they're a very small con here, and they're charity-based. So every year they give to a different charity. Last year it was the Gay and Lesbian Center here. And they're wonderful. Yeah. And it's a very small one. You play Pictionary with the fans. It's very personalized experience. And then the one in Paris was also kind of a little, it was called Cloud Con. And it was also a smaller, you know, it was nice because he really, you know, the thing that struck me that I didn't know until I did a convention was how much Buffy touched people. I didn't know that because I was just on it for a short time. I mean, people were telling me stories and crying about how Buffy got them through things. I wasn't aware of the power of that show. So it's pretty cool to sit, you know, across from people and have you say thank you, like that you really helped me through. And I'm like, really? But I just ironed, but thank you. It's really
and they boiled eggs.
Yeah. They're lovely. The Buffy fans are lovely and they're very passionate, you know.
With COVID and everything, everything's going online. So you did a virtual panel.
Oh yeah. Wizard World. Wizard World. I forgot about that. That wasn't long ago, but it sure feels like it. That
exactly.
Was
so with COVID, does it give it? Oh, is everyone okay?
Pop, sorry.
Is everyone okay?
That was me. Sorry.
Was that your arm, Dagny?
It was.
Can we see both arms, please? Okay, that's good. With COVID, has it given you a lot more time to be more creative? Because as we were talking about before,
it's giving me time to just lay around.
But when there's no work, you've got to create your own, you know, as you were saying before.
It's just giving me a lot of time to eat. Just eat and watch TV. Well, it's
everything exploding.
At least you're honest.
Yeah, you know, isn't it funny? Like when you look back at your quarantine experience, it was in stages, right? Like it kind of started off like I was very productive. I've been working on a book for a little while, and so I was writing pretty furiously, and I was still going to my little coffee shop before they shut down. And then when they shut down, I feel like I use that as an excuse. Well, my coffee shop's not open, so I'm writing on hold for a minute. And then I think I went through the Tiger, you know, we did the Tiger King. Everyone watched Tiger King. Like it came in stages, right?
I didn't.
Got it.
Okay.
Didn't. It but you did know Carol Baskin was a bitch, Dave. You did.
Oh my God. Oh, Carol. So I feel like
maybe, Dagny, maybe you could play Carol.
Oh, I think that's already taken. I think
There's going to be 700 versions. Nicolas Cage is playing the Tiger King, isn't he? That's going to be interesting.
I think Kate McKinnon is playing her. She is a very good. She looks like her as well too. In a way, I mean, not really, but you know what I mean. It's kind of in like skin tone and
facial. Yes.
Yeah.
See,
you're kind of pretty. I think Kate McKinnon's so cute. I love her. But it's been, I'm sure it's been like this for everybody. You know, you go through these stages where, you know, and then you feel unmotivated and then I've been trying lately to get back on and, you know, work on some things, but, you know, it's also okay to also honor the mood of the moment and also just not worry about like pushing yourself and the pressure. Like, you know, people are dying and there was a lot going on. So, you don't always have to just keep that train going. And I think a lot of people, whether you're an artist or have kids or whatever it is, I think kind of took that from this experience of like, you know, let's step back for a second. And, you know, it's not always go, 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 work, work, work. You need to like be aware of what's happening and check in on others and that kind of thing. So,
yeah, I think it's sort of like, you know, community has sort of come together a little bit more again. So I think, especially, you know, in our societies right now, we're all very separate and busy, busy, busy. I think it's sort of brought us all a little bit more together where we are considerate of others and what their experiences are. And that's one positive to take from it, I guess.
The only other positive, like just specifically to LA, is like you could get anywhere in 10 minutes. not too much. I drove the other day and I was like, where are these people going? Why are they out? You know.
Well, your Uber Eats will get there really quick. You know it's coming hot tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
So is there anything on the horizon that we can look forward to seeing you in, Dagny? Or are you just taking your time?
Let's see. I have a play festival. Let me see if I can pull it up. because I haven't even actually posted about it. Thank you guys for creating those lovely, it takes me so long to post something because like I can never figure out the right size and I post it and like, oh, my head's cut off. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, let me pull out. I'm in a digital festival. It's called Ensemble Studio Theater. Gosh, where is that little thing? It's Ensemble Studio Theater Digifest. I'm working on my book. And I'm like, am I in anything else coming up that I can think of? Things are just kind of getting back. So now I'm kind of like auditioning and, you know, that's the only thing. You have to do a lot of self-tapes.
I had a little idea the other night because there's this big rumor of the Buffy reboot or, you know, whatever coming on. And they're saying it's going to be a revival with like a different Slayer. I think Kathy should show up with her own daughter.
Yes.
As like a neighbor and no one knows who she is. She's just that's like hilarious. that crazy bitch next door that just steals everyone's milk and whatnot.
She's got tons of eggs.
And then of course you'd have one of the original cast come back in and go, I know you, and then you get your fight scene again.
Steve, you'll have to get that to whoever. I don't know who.
I'm putting that out into the universe.
I love it. Let's put it out together. I love it. Yeah,
well, I'm putting it out there.
George Lopez, I heard, is also like may come back, but you know that doesn't mean anything really for my part. But you never know. But you know everything's coming back. I didn't know Punky Brewster came back.
Oh yeah.
We've got a lot of feelings about Jeff and Kat. Have got a lot of feelings about Punky Brewster, don't you?
I didn't even know. I was in the dark on that one, but yeah. So that's the digital fest we just shot. So that's coming up next weekend, and then hopefully, if I talk to you again, which I hope I do, because you guys are awesome, I will have my book published and finished.
Ooh, oh,
I
also do
have, fabulous.
Yeah, I also do have another theater thing, but I don't have the dates yet for that. I have a really fun piece called Whitefish. It's about this woman who wants to get a prison pen pal, and she has this.
And she goes, Trina.
We would love that if you could come back again.
Yes, absolutely.
You've been a hoot.
Oh, you like, have been. Thank you.
I have one question to ask, and yes. It wouldn't be right to ask if we didn't finish the interview. It's a very important question. Dagny Kerr, do you believe in life after love?
Yes, I do. I was very, very, you know what's funny? For a second, I just made me laugh because I did a cameo before this, and the girl was she was turning 31, and so I changed the lyrics. Do you believe in life after 31? Believe it. It's possible. Your life will not end at 31.
Oh, I want to be 31 again.
I know, right?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Shit.
Well, we're not. But that's okay. There's life after 31.
Obviously. Well, thank you so much for your time, Dagny. It has been amazing to have you. And as we said, when that book's out, girl, let us know. And we would love to have you back.
Oh, my gosh. You guys were really fantastic. Thank you so much. It was great to meet you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.